last week, this week, and next week. We are working. It's actually not any work at all. It's a great pleasure to promote the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, and Kate McConnell is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
How did you get involved with the art of storytelling?
I come from a long line of Irish storytellers, so it's in my DNA. But my very first stories were told to my dog under the dining room table. And I must say that my St. Bernard was a very good audience member.
Now, did you do this in your late teens, early 20s? No, you were probably a little girl, right?
I was a little girl then, but I went on, and my professional training is in acting and directing, and which I enjoyed for a long time. But storytelling has a special place. I think it's even a more powerful medium than theater, and that's saying a lot for me.
Without asking you or challenging you at all to what you just said, how so do you think it is more powerful? Have you thought about the specifics of what makes it work?
Well, it's the oldest art form around. It's about, 10,000 years old? Before there were pictures, before there were anything, there were stories. And all this research has found out that we as human beings are hardwired to understand and learn by stories. It's just in our nature. And I think that what it attracts me is that I love the opera and the symphony and things like that, but there's a certain amount of education you need to fully appreciate and enjoy those art forms. But storytelling goes straight to the heart. And you can tell a story to a CEO, and you can tell it to a bus driver or anybody around, and they can hear the same story, but they take that information and they make it their own, and it hits them both very powerfully. That's why I love storytelling.
Yeah, we say that a lot about radio because it forces a listener to actively engage, because we all create our pictures of what completes that which we're hearing, and we react a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Unlike live theater or a movie or other multimedia presentations where a lot of that work is already done for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about the fact that as you listen to a story, generally they're a good story, I think, is always self-contained. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to arrive with any preconceived knowledge. And a good storyteller will make sure of that. It might be a story about Anansi, who has had many stories told about him. But they all explain that Anansi is the tricky spider that is known for his skullduggery and
trickiness. Right.
If you already know a Nazi, you already kind of know what to expect. But if you don't, you're not left out.
Exactly.
Now, Three Rivers Storytelling Festival is going to be taking place, right around the corner
it
next
is.
Weekend.
Yeah.
And you've got a story to share with us. But before you do, can you share a bit about the schedule and folks that are going to be in?
Yeah. Our first sort of pre-festival event happens down in Market Square on August 2nd at 10 o'clock a.m. It's free storytelling for children, and it will feature the work of Tim Hartman, who's Pittsburgh's one of their favorite storytellers and actors around. And then the formal program begins on Friday morning, August 5th, with a free concert again in Carnegie Library in their lecture hall in Oakland. And that's for children and families, and that starts at 10:15. Then, starting on Friday evening, there's programming for adults. It goes all the way from 7 to 9:30 that night, and then the next day it starts at 1 and goes all the way to 10:30. And it will include such things as a liar's contest, which are very fun, a ghost story concert, an open mic session, just all kinds of individual things happening.
There are also our opportunities for you to take part in workshops if you want to sharpen your storytelling skills or begin to establish them. And you've got some experts providing those workshops.
Yes, we are so fortunate. We have three national tellers this year that are stupendous. We have Antonio Sacra, who's from Los Angeles, and he's first generation Cuban and Irish American and has wonderful stories to tell about growing up, reconciling those two parts of himself, and he's funny as all get out. He performs a lot of his own shows in New York, and he's been hailed as a genius by backstage and people in Broadway. Then we have Kim Whitecamp, who is hysterically funny and poignant all at the same time, and she's also a musician. We're thrilled to have her. And then Adam Booth, who is from West Virginia, and he is a musicologist. He's professionally trained in music, but he also plays the dulcimer, and he weaves all his music and stories from his own Appalachian roots to create incredibly powerful stories for us.
The idea of sitting in a simple chair, you know, at a simple set and listening to a human being on stage whose very purpose is to share a story with you is something really exciting. And I hope you'll consider doing it. Three Rivers Storytelling Festival with events on Tuesday in Market Square with the great Tim Hartman, as you just heard Kate McDonald mention, and Kate McConnell mention.
Don't worry.
I have a friend. I keep my friend Holly O'Donnell and Kate McConnell. We could make a
a song out of that.
Yeah, there's a da 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 Holly Mc da 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 Kate McDonald or McConnell. Tim Hartman will be telling Tuesday morning in a show co-sponsored by the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. The Grable Foundation also has been so generous.
Wonderfully generous. Thanks for reminding me to say that.
Three Rivers Storytelling Foundation, and then or Storytelling Festival. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday coming up, a whole just beautiful schedule. One thing to you can certainly go and look at the website. We'll give you the location in a moment. But remember, it's at Schenley Plaza this year, with the exception of the Market Square event. It's all centered around Oakland Schenley Plaza, which is a great location, I think.
And we're hoping to make it a lot easier for people to get there.
So the numeral 3, followed by RSTF, as in Three River Storytelling Festival, .org, is how you can get additional details. We'll repeat this information in a moment, but Kate brought a story along today, and I've been looking forward to this because it's got a local connection here.
It is. This is a Pittsburgh version of a very old folktale, and it's specifically designed for tweens and their parents. Once, on the north side of Pittsburgh, there was a family by the name of Riding. The youngest and the littlest of three children was a girl, and because she had bright red hair and she always wore her favorite hoodie, everyone called her Little Red Riding Hood. Red Riding loved her mother. She knew that her mother was the best and most intelligent mother in the entire world. But then, just about the time she turned 13, she noticed something odd. Her mother began to change. All of a sudden, her mother began forgetting things and not understanding things. Like, she forgot that Red Riding was a teenager and treated her like a kid sometimes. And she forgot that how important it was for Red to sleep in until 12 or 1 on the weekends. And then she started making all these crazy, ridiculous rules. Things like, don't talk to strangers. Don't give your personal information out to anybody. Always call if you need help. Silly, embarrassing rules like that. And then she obviously forgot she had told Red these rules because she kept repeating them over and over and over again until finally Red Riding came to the very sad conclusion that her mother had become stupid. Now, one Saturday morning in the spring, her mother called upstairs. Red, get up. I need your help today. Mom, it's only 10:30. Yes, hon, I know, but your grandmother's sick. I've made her some pierogies and kielbasa. I need you to take the bus to her house, make some lunch for her, and spend the afternoon with her. Now, even though Red Riding loved her grandmother, and even though the idea of spending an afternoon with her was wonderful, she couldn't help but reply, fine, okay, I'll go. By the time she got downstairs, her mother was packing up the pierogies and kielbasa in her backpack, and she said, okay, hon, Now, do you have everything you need? Let's go over the rules. Don't talk to strangers. Don't give your personal information. Call Mother, I remember the rules. Okay, so now when you get downtown, I think you should probably take the 61C bus to Squirrel Hill. And then, Mother, I know how to take the bus to Grandma's house. Okay, now, do you have what you need? Do you have your cell phone? It's in my pocket. Do you have your pepper spray? It's in my pocket. Okay, hon, have a good time. Whatever, said Red Riding, and she stomped out the door. By the time she got downtown and was standing at the 61C bus stop, she was so busy texting her friend about how stupid her mother was that she forgot to notice some very important things. She did not see the car that was parked down the block. It was a bright red Ferrari Spider with a convertible top. And she did not see the wolf that was driving it. And she did not hear that wolf say to himself as he looked at her, lunch. That wolf, he drove his car up right to that bus stop and parked right there. And then he leaned over and he said, well, what is your name, you pretty little thing? Red Riding looked up and she saw the most gorgeous creature. He had on a fine black leather jacket, and he had on a white Armani shirt, and he had a bright diamond stud earring that was hanging down from one of his very hairy ears. And even though her brain knew she should say go away, her brain just went on vacation, and her mouth said instead, my name's Little Red Riding Hood. Well, Red Riding Hood, now where are you going this bright Saturday? And she looked at him, and she saw his bright eyes twinkle at her in a way that made her knees knock together. And even though her brain knew she should say, go away or I'll scream, she forgot everything. And she said, I'm going to my grandmother's house in Squirrel Hill. She lives at 2468 Hobart Street. Well, said the wolf, now isn't that a coincidence? 'Cause that is exactly where I'm going. May I offer you a ride in my car, Miss Riding? Now, Red Riding knew to say no, no, no. But then she looked down and she saw that car, that bright red Ferrari Spider with a convertible top, and her brain just short-circuited, and she said, oh, yes, please. And just as she was about to get in that car, a woman who had been listening came running across the street toward that wolf, pointing her finger and yelling at him, you sucker, you get away from that girl, you get away from her, or I'm going to call the police. And with that, the wolf slammed the car door shut and took off in his car down Fifth Avenue. And then that woman turned to Red Riding and she said, girl, does the term stranger danger mean nothing to you? I know your mama taught you better than that. Now you get on this here bus, and I want you to not talk to anybody until you arrive. You got me? Yes, ma'am, said Red Riding, and that's exactly what she did. But now this wolf, he was tearing down Fifth Avenue. He was mad. He'd lost his lunch. But then he realized, wait, I know exactly where my lunch is going, in Squirrel Hill. And she's going in that slow old bus, and I have my bright red Ferrari Spider, and I'm just going to zip on that parkway there. I'll get there in no time, and with enough time to eat that granny for an appetizer. And as he jumped on the parkway, he said, oh, I am such a smart wolf. But he wasn't, because he had forgotten something very important, that in Pittsburgh there are only two seasons, winter and construction. And he forgot that it was a Saturday morning in the spring, so of course the parkway was closed for repairs. And he was detoured all the way through the South Hills and Baldwin and Homestead until finally, much later, he arrived at Squirrel Hill and ran up to 2468 Hobart Street. And as he did, he saw that 61C bus coming down that street, and he knew that Red Riding was on it. So he knocked madly on the door and said, Granny, Granny, it's me, Red, let me in. I'm being chased by a wolf. And as soon as that grandma opened that door, he jumped in and he tied her up and he threw her in the broom closet. And he said, sorry, Granny, can't eat you now. I'm going to have to save you for dessert. And then he ran over to the bedroom, jumped in bed, pulled the covers over his head just as Red Riding was knocking on the door.
"Come in," said the wolf, pretending to be the grandmother. "Come on in and visit your old granny in her bedroom."
Red came in the door. She started to head toward the bedroom, and then she said, "Grandma, do you hear that tap, tap, tapping? It sounds like it's coming from the broom closet."
"Oh, Red Riding, what good ears you have. No, honey, that's just the rats playing in the kitchen. Come on in and give your old granny a kiss."
And as Red Riding came in the bedroom and she leaned over the bed, that wolf threw back the covers and he reached out and he latched onto her. But Red Riding was quicker and faster. She wriggled away. She started running down the hallway with the wolf snap, snap, snapping behind her until finally she said, "What do I do? What do I do?" And then she stopped and she said, "Wait, I know exactly what to do. My mother has told me over and over and over again." And so she reached into her pocket, she turned around, she stopped, she looked that wolf in the face and sprayed him with her pepper spray. And as he fell down onto the ground, moaning and groaning, she tied him up and then she pulled out her cell phone and she called 911. And by the time that the police and her mother arrived, Red Riding and her grandmother were finishing a lovely lunch of pierogies and kielbasa and Turner's iced tea. Now, that wolf, he was sent to Western Penn for 10 years for 2 counts of attempted kidnapping. The grandmother became a very popular guest on talk shows like When Animal Attacks and even did a guest spot on the Saturday Light Brigade. But Red Riding, she thought long and hard about what had happened to her, and she began to write about it in a blog, which became very popular among teens. In fact, I bet you've heard of it. It's called Mothers. They're not as stupid as you might think.
Storyteller Kate McConnell at the Saturday Light Brigade. That was fun.
Thanks.
It's amazing how much a mom can learn from the time you're 12 till when you hit 22.
Isn't that funny? They become smart very quickly.
Well, you can hear more of Kate and more storytellers from throughout southwestern Pennsylvania, as well as 3 guest storytellers this year coming in, all as part of the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. Complete details are available at the numeral 3RSTF.org. There's also a link on our website and on our Facebook page. Anything else you'd like to mention? That was a great story.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having us on. And we know that this festival would not be possible without the great support of the Grable Foundation, Pennsylvania Council for the Arts, the Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council, Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, Osher Center for Lifelong Learning, and the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. We are very fortunate to have such great sponsors and great friends like the Burgers at Saturday Light Brigade.
Thank you, Kate. And take a look at the website. You can find out how to volunteer, how to get tickets, how to make donations. And although the festival takes place this coming week, Tuesday, and next weekend, storytelling is alive and well all year long. You can learn more about how to get involved with the community. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Larry.